Well, please take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26. If you've just joined in on the hookup, we're going to do communion after we look into God's Word, and you're welcome to join us. If you want to grab a piece of bread or a cracker and something to drink. Last week, we looked at Jesus Christ, the Master Teacher, and we read a number of chapters from the Gospel of John where he was teaching at the Last Supper and taught a lot of great stuff. And it was during that time at the Last Supper where Jesus Christ instituted a memorial, and it's not in the Gospel of John, but it is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and also in 1 Corinthians. So we're going to look at those. Before we read those verses, for those who are not familiar, we need to keep in mind the metaphor that we'll be reading. The figure of speech simile is a comparison using the words like or as. This is like that. A much stronger figure is metaphor, where you don't use the words like or as. For example, instead of saying he swims like a fish, which would be a simile, the metaphor would be he is a fish. See how much stronger that it is when you use a metaphor. It's just greater emphasis. And Jesus Christ used metaphor concerning himself on a number of occasions. He said, I am the good shepherd. He wasn't literally a shepherd. He didn't say, I'm like a shepherd. He said, I am the good shepherd. He also said, I am the vine and you are the branches. We aren't literally branches, and he wasn't literally a vine. So, keeping that in mind, when we read in the verses we're going to read, keep in mind that when we read Jesus Christ saying, this is my body, he is saying, this bread represents my body. Everybody got that? Good. So we begin in Matthew chapter 26, verse 26. 26, 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this cup, for this is my blood of the New Testament, or New Covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Important to note that God's word tells us this happened as they were eating. Doesn't say at the beginning of the meal, end of the meal. As they were eating, he did this. And the bread in Bible times was like a large pita, large tortilla, fatter though. But that's why I put this here on the table. So it's like he took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and said, this is my body, or this represents my body. And then he took the cup, and cups were similar to this. I mean, over time, over the centuries, we get these big chalices with stems on them and the Holy Grail. But I took the time one time to research what were the cups that they used when they ate, way back 2,000 years ago. And it's similar to this, not exactly similar, but that's why I got that up there. So it was as they were eating. And if you notice in verse 27 or verse 28, this is my blood, when he had the cup. And again, that's metaphor. This cup represents my blood. You may have read a verse or two that says we are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Not his literal blood. Blood represents him giving his life. There are other people in scriptures where blood is used to represent their death. Stephen is one. The blood of Abel. others. So when we see this is my blood, this is my life poured out for you. I'm dying for you. We go to the next one, Mark 14. Mark chapter 14, verse 22. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, this is my blood. This represents my life of the New Testament, which is shed for many. And again, it mentioned as they were eating. Luke 22:19. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. We're actually utilizing a really great principle of biblical research called scripture buildup. Everything pertaining to a certain topic or subject might not be in one place in the Bible. You might find different places. And by putting them together, we get the full picture. So something different here, where he said, do this in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Something to remember him. Remember what? Walking on water? Doing miracles? No. His physical body, broken and beat up, and his life poured out. And it's interesting because we've seen in these three records, do this. Well, what were they doing? They were eating a common meal. Go to 1 Corinthians 11. In 1 Corinthians 11, God gave Paul revelation to write about this memorial that happened at the Last Supper. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, 11:23, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament, or the New Covenant, in my blood. This do ye, as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Show the Lord's death is literally to declare or proclaim his death. In other words, what he accomplished. It's a remembrance. And again, as often as you do this, well, what were they doing at that moment? They were eating. They were eating a meal. So in looking at the records in the Gospels and here in 1 Corinthians, Jesus Christ did not set up a new ceremony, a sacrament, a ritual. It was a remembrance. It was a memorial, if you will. And just like memorials through the centuries, it was something to remind us. That's what memorials are. I mean, photographs are a remembrance, right? Look at a photograph and you remember an event, remember a person. They are a memorial. They're a remembrance. Statues and monuments are memorials that remind us of something. He said, do it in remembrance of me. He instituted this memorial on Monday evening, shortly before he was arrested. 2 days later, in the afternoon, according to Old Testament law, the Jews killed the lambs that would be part of the Passover meal that night. And it was on that afternoon, when the Passover lambs were being killed in preparation for the Passover meal, it was on that afternoon that the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified and died, at the same time they were killing the Passover lambs. If you would, go to 1 Corinthians 5. We're in 11, back up to 5. You probably remember that Passover was a memorial to remember the great deliverance from God in delivering the children of Israel out of Egypt, took them all out, if you remember that back in the book of Exodus. And they were instructed by Moses to get a lamb, a male lamb of the first year, to eat that night, but they were to, when they butchered the lamb, they were to take the blood of the lamb and put it on the doorposts. And that was a covering for their sins. And as God's word tells us, the angel of death passed over them. None of them died. That's why it's called Passover. And then the eating of the lamb that night was for their physical healing, their physical wholeness. God's word declares that when they left Egypt, there was not one feeble knee among them. They estimate maybe around 2 million people that left. Chapter 5, verse 7, it says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, even as you are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." That year, when Jesus Christ died, he was the Passover lamb. The greatest deliverance that God has ever provided for mankind. His body was beaten and mutilated for our healing. Go to Isaiah chapter 52. In the middle of the Bible there somewhere. Right before Jeremiah. Isaiah 52. 14. "As many were astonied at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men." There's some other translations that have it even more graphically than this. One of the translations says he was unrecognizable. If you're familiar with the records in the Gospels, when they arrested him that night, the religious leaders beat him up pretty badly, mostly in the face and on the head, and hitting him with things and punching him in the face. So he was already beaten up pretty badly when they turned him over to Pilate. And as you know from the Gospel records, he had a Roman scourging. If you ever want to see something brutal, look up sometimes, I did this a number of years ago, historically what Roman scourgings were like. These were warriors, Roman soldiers. That's what they did for a living. And historically they say that many times prisoners died from the scourgings. They were so brutal. And then, as you know, the Roman soldiers put a crown of thorns on his head, right? You remember reading that? Have you seen pictures of it, right? You know, where they show Jesus hanging on the cross there with a crown of thorns. And almost every picture you see of that, it's like they bought the crown of thorns at a craft store. It's perfectly cement, you know, it's just this perfect little... You think these brutal warriors took their time and made a nice little... They were mocking him. This guy's a king. He needs a crown. I know. Grabbed a bunch of thorns and just shoved it in his head. So when you see pictures of a little trickle of blood from a crown that might have pierced, you know, he was beaten so bad. And that's why that verse says many were astonished at him. His visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. And then, of course, nails in his hands and his feet. Suffered a lot for us. In Isaiah, look at chapter 53. Who has believed our report? And to what is the arm of the Lord revealed? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs or sicknesses, and carried our sorrows, our pains. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, or God allowed him to be smitten and afflicted. Look at verse 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The two things, the healing and the remission of sins. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so opened he not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. He was killed for the transgression of my people. Was he stricken? And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, so that he could pay the price necessary. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Jesus Christ's death fulfilled all the legal requirements for mankind's redemption. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. Hallelujah. For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Jesus Christ's death paid the price for all sins. If you remember, John the Baptist pointed to Jesus Christ and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." In 1 John, it says that Jesus Christ is the propitiation or payment for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. This memorial that Jesus Christ instituted did not have specific requirements like Passover. Passover had specific elements, lots of stuff, you know, the lamb, the unleavened bread, and all that. It was a specific day they were supposed to do it. They were to celebrate it in Jerusalem, a specific place. Jesus Christ instituted this memorial during a common meal, utilizing two common items found at most meals, bread, wine. And he said, as often as you do this, do it in memory of me. My body is broken for you, and that's for our healing. My blood, my life is given for remission and forgiveness of sins. And so every time we eat, there's usually some kind of bread and something to drink, right? But regardless, every time we eat, we could, if we wanted to, stop for a moment and remember. Just stop for a moment to remember. He's the one that said, as often as you do this, right? Do it in memory of me. Remember what I've accomplished. So as often as we eat, we could stop, remind ourselves of forgiveness of all of our sins and that God provides healing by the stripes, by the physical punishment. Why? Why remind ourselves and remember? So we can continue to believe it and receive it. So we can accept the forgiveness of all sins that He paid for with His life. So that we don't go around living in guilt and shame and condemnation for things we've maybe done 10 years ago. God doesn't want us living that way. Jesus Christ paid the price with His life for all our sins. Nice to remind ourselves of that. And remind ourselves of healing. Regardless of what we see, regardless of what we hear, healing from God is still available. And I know that because God's word says He sent His word and healed them. And people have and continue to receive healing mentally, physically, and spiritually from reading and hearing the scriptures. And that's undeniable. People have and continue to receive healing as a result of the manifestation of gifts of healing. That's undeniable, indisputable. And people have and continue to receive healing mentally, physically, and spiritually when they receive communion because of the remembrance, the reminding us of what Jesus Christ did, and believing it. One more verse, 1 Peter chapter 2, if you would. What a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a Savior. 1 Peter chapter 2. And of course, this verse reminds us of one of those verses we just read in Isaiah 53. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. In Isaiah, it said, by His stripes you are healed. Looking forward, He's accomplished what was prophesied. By His stripes you were healed. And having communion, bread and wine like this at our fellowship is a great way to remind ourselves, and it's a great way to remember those two things, forgiveness of sins and healing. And again, even so, whenever we eat, we could always stop and remember what Jesus Christ accomplished for us and believe it and receive it. So, I'd like to pray, and then we will share bread together, and then we will share wine. Father God, how thankful we are for Your wonderful Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we have complete remission and forgiveness of all sins because He gave His life in full payment. And Father, His body was so beaten for our healing. By His stripes we were healed. And we're grateful for that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I used gloves when I broke this bread up. Father God, we ask You to bless this bread, and may we remember that Jesus Christ's body was broken for our healing. So everybody would take a piece, and then we'll just eat together, all right? As we eat this bread, just take a moment and thank God for his healing of your body, heart, mind, soul. And so as we drink this together, we're born again ones. All sins are forgiven. They're gone. They're wiped away. So let's remember that. Almighty God, our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for what Jesus Christ did for each one of us. That we can live our lives with joy and not guilt, knowing we've been forgiven. And that, Father, whatever healing we need, it is available. Because Jesus Christ, by his stripes, we were healed. So I thank you for that in his wonderful name. And we're going to sing a song before we close out here.
We're going to sing number 184, Thank You, Lord. Okay, here's an intro.
My Jesus, I love you. My Jesus is.
We were going to do Thank You, Lord, 184. Here's an intro.
So full and free.
Have great confidence in my word, for I, the Lord your God, am a complete and completely faithful God. I will bring my word to pass in your lives as you believe and trust only in me. Continue to have no fear in your life, but put your trust in me, your loving God. For I am still a God of miracles, a God of power, and I am a God of love. So put your trust in your loving God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Father, I thank you again for this wonderful time that we've had together, and thank you for your wonderful Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.